There he is. There he is. I found you. Do you know how many people have been looking for you, Jesus?
Oh, good morning, Jeff. Sono Pilling. How are you this morning?
Well, where have you been? I've been looking all over for you.
I've been praying every morning. I pray, you know.
Well, we've got a big schedule for you here today, and it starts with the Pharisees. Yeah, there's the Pharisees, and you know you don't want to slight them because you got to kind of handle them with kid hands.
Kid hands, kid gloves. What do you mean?
Well, you know, I think they're going to talk about divorce, and you know, I think they're going to trap you. I think that they want to embarrass you in front of all the disciples. So I think you should really practice what you're going to say in front of those apostles.
Well, I don't think they'll be necessary to do that.
Well, let's see what else we got on this list. There's a very rich ruler, and you know, he's very influential. So I think we really need to stay on the good side of him because, you know, Israel, if you win over him, you'll win over the south of Israel. And you know what they say about that? If you win over the south of Israel, you got the whole of Israel.
Okay, well, all right.
Yeah, well, you know, there's a big agenda, though. There's even more. There's going to be sickness and disabilities. There's going to be people with lepers. And, oh, man, those lepers, they really smell horrible. So, you know, I think they're going to stink and just drive everybody away. So I think we better make sure that they don't drive away the potential disciples, if you know what I mean.
Well, I know what you mean, but...
Well, then there's the demon-possessed man, too. The demon-possessed man and a deaf mute. In fact, I think the deaf mute is demon-possessed. So you've got to take care of him because, you know, in order to impress the Pharisees, you got to stay on top of things, if you know what I mean.
Well, I know what you mean, but...
Well, you know... That's a long list. There's also these children from the orphanage here. I don't think it really matters about the orphanage, though. I think we can just reschedule them for next time, Jeff?
Wait.
No, that's right. It wouldn't hurt to wait. We just wait on the orphanage
kids.
Wait,
hold it.
Hold it? Hold what? We don't have time to wait. Even if we cancel the kids, we don't have time for the Pharisees and the lepers and everybody else.
Wait, hold it. Stop talking.
What's the matter? Did I miss something?
You missed the children.
The children? See, I had them down right here, first on the list. They've first on the list. But, you know, they've been here since sunrise, but, you know, they're just kids. We don't need to bother about
them. Wait, hold it. Stop talking.
I'm sorry. I didn't know I was offending you. I'm trying to keep your schedule and your appointments as efficiently as possible, and we're running out. Yeah. Oh, I'm sorry. I'll be quiet. What did you want to say?
We don't arrange our appointments, our priorities, according to urgency.
We don't?
No, we arrange our priorities according to our convictions. Children, widows, and orphans are the priorities of my Father in heaven, and those are my priorities too.
So you want to see the children?
There you go. You're quick today.
Okay. I will remind you, though, they have absolutely no political clout in Israel.
That's why they are our top priority.
I understand.
They don't have anyone to look after them.
Oh, I never thought about it like that.
Obviously not.
Oh, I'm sorry. I'm sorry about that.
You can learn a lot from the children, you know.
I can? I mean, I can. Like what?
The kingdom of God belongs to the children.
What? Such as me? The kingdom of God belongs to me?
Children are not impressed by money of the rich young ruler or the power of the Pharisees.
I know. They have a lot to learn. I go and teach them, yes?
Shh!
Oh, I'm so confused here. I'm sorry. Okay, you talk, I listen.
All right. Another lesson that we can learn from the children is that they don't think they have all the answers.
Okay, yeah, you're right. I've got it all wrong. No more schedule from urgency. I think from now on, we schedule according to our convictions, yes?
All right.
Convictions,
yes. Let's go see the children.
Good idea.
I was at Trader Joe's the other day, and I noticed something that I hadn't seen before. I know that in most stores, there are the children's carts that kids have. But at Trader Joe, they don't miss a beat. They had a sign with a cart. Anybody know what that sign says? Exactly. Customer in training, it says. And there you go. The kids are carrying their cart, following their mom and dad. And of course, they're not choosing the healthiest food or the cheapest food or what makes sense for dinner. But there they are, following their parents, picking up things. Of course, the colorful cereals, the cookies, the chips. But they're learning. They're in training to be a customer. And Trader Joe knows that. The kids learn when they imitate their parents. I have our children here in our service because I believe our church is a place where our children are being trained to be true Christians, to be true human beings, to be people who follow Jesus, just as we are. You know, we sometimes think that church has to do fantastic things, amazing things to impress our kids. But I think our children can see right through that, don't they? We try to fool them, but they can see right through how we're trying to say. Because they're watching what we do, not so much what we say. They're watching how we treat each other. They're watching what is important to us in our daily lives. They're watching what we as a church considers to be important and what is important in our lives. They're learning from that. I have our children in our midst because I want us to be reminded that when Jesus came and said, "Let the children come to me and do not hinder them," he wasn't just saying some nice things. He was telling the truth of God, that God has given the children into each of our families as a gift, in trust to you. They are not yours, they are God's. But here you have them in your hands, in your lives, to enrich you, but at times to help us to see what it is that is important about our lives. Because when we see our kids, they remind us of the possibilities in our lives. The potential. They remind us that God is good, that God gives us these riches that are undeserved, that God gives us an opportunity to change, to do something new every day. Because when we see our kids, that's what they are. They are new every day. They challenge us every day. And they show us that God is love, because of the love that they give to us. I hope that our church, it's a church of imitators of God, not simply admirers of Jesus. The best thing we can do is to be like Jesus in the way we see ourselves, in the way we treat each other. Admirers, see, we watch people from afar and we can admire them for their good qualities, but we never allow the person that we are admiring to really have a place in our hearts, to change us. Imitators, on the other hand, we are hoping that something good from this person can rub off on us, that we hope that we can live up to what that person is trying to say to us. Jesus came into the world so that we too will know that each one of us are God's child, that we too can treat each other and see in each other's eyes the love of God, the gift of God, the presence of God. So I think this is a promise that we make to our children on this Children's Sabbath, that all of us are in training to be good Christians. All of us are in training to be good human beings. And that in our church, our children will watch us, and they too will become Christians in training as they see us in action, as they see us praying, as they see us treating each other with love. Our youth group does a fantastic job of taking our children to Sierra's service project, where they learn to give of themselves. Our children are learning to sing, to share their gifts with this congregation and the larger community. I hope that our church can help each of our families to remember that that's where the training takes place, that that's where we learn to pray and to share and to give. I hope that in the days ahead, our church can help each one of our families and our children to imitate Jesus in the way we know the best. May our children be able to say when they see us, "Look, there goes Jesus. Look, that's how Jesus was." There's a story told of a little boy, 10-year-old boy, in New York City many years ago, standing outside a shoe store. He was poor, he was shivering. He was watching inside the glass of the store. A lady walked by, she saw this. She asked him, "What are you doing here?" And he's saying, "I pray to God that I will have a nice shoes." She takes him into the store, tells the clerk to prepare a dozen socks and three pairs of shoes. And while he's going away, he asks for a bowl, glass, a bucket of water so that she could wash his feet. After she did that, she wiped it with a towel and put the socks on him and put the shoes on him. And she said to him, "I hope this makes you feel much better." As you're about to leave, the little boy looks at her and says, "Are you God's wife?" I hope that our church can become a place where our kids look at us and know that the stories of Jesus are true, not because they're in the Bible, but because it's being lived out here among us. May they be able to see us and say, "Are you a friend of Jesus?" Thanks be to God for our children, for our parents, for the wonderful families, and this community that helps our children to be the best they can be. Thanks be to God. Amen.